We begin a new year. I think it's very important for us to remember that we live in a great time. It's great to be alive today. And it's also a great place to live, our nation. Now, I'm not naive enough to believe that we don't have problems and our nation doesn't have troubles. But I think it's important for us to look beyond what we could see and to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and realize that it is a great time to be alive and it's a great place to live because we as Christians have a perfect high priest. Now think about that. If we were born in the Old Testament, we would not have a perfect high priest. Oh yes, there would be priests from the tribe of Leviticus or a tribe of Levi. Their functions as priests are recorded in Leviticus and other areas of the law. But those people did not have a perfect priest. We do. And we're fortunate to live in a great land that since the 1600s, the gospel has been proclaimed in this nation, even in the colonies. That if we were born someplace else, we may never have heard the gospel. We could have lived our lives completely in darkness and then passed from this world into an eternal darkness. God has been so gracious to us in giving us a high priest, but also allowing us to be born when we were, so that we could hear the gospel, believe in the gospel, and understand our need for a perfect high priest. And as we see in our text, the whole reason for a priest or a priesthood is in the last part of verse 19, because priests draw us near to God. Priests bring us into the presence of God. And we live at a great time because if we were created at any other time, we may have missed all of this. So we begin the new year thanking God for His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the perfect high priest, that He has already come. He has already done His work on the cross. He has already opened the door for us to have access to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So we're fortunate, aren't we? There are people, even today, that have never heard the gospel and will die in their sins. We, on the other hand, hear the gospel all of our lives. We hear it every Sunday. And I know the makeup of the congregation, the studying and the small groups and the individual work, the devotional life. Well, we're into the Word and we're studying the gospel and we're understanding the message of salvation. So instead of looking at all the negative things and all of the problems, today I'd like it to begin this new year talking about this great, perfect high priest that we have who enables us to come into the presence of God and remain there forever. Forever. We first learn of this perfect high priest, Jesus Christ, in the book of Hebrews as we have been introduced to a fellow that was a king and a priest of the God of the Most High God, a fellow by the name of Melchizedek. Melchizedek lived around the time that Abraham did. That's way back in Genesis. Genesis 14, the first time that Melchizedek met Abraham. You recall that Abraham had done war against a number of kings who had taken his nephew Lot. And God empowered Abraham to recapture his son and, or his nephew, and to gain all of the possessions that he had lost from these kings. And God was gracious in this. And as a result, Abraham gives a tithe, a tenth of this, to a king, a priest king, Melchizedek. Now, what's interesting about this is that Melchizedek and Abraham lived hundreds of years before Jacob, whose son Levi, whose offspring Aaron, were priests. So the order of Melchizedek, this priesthood that is being referred to, existed before the law. It existed before the Levitical priesthood. It existed before Moses. It existed before Aaron. Moses, Aaron, Miriam all came from the tribe of Levi. Aaron was the first high priest. That was given to them by God for a period of time in Jewish history. But it was never intended to be the permanent, the perfect. And when Jesus Christ came along, Jesus replaced that Levitical priesthood. He was better than the Levitical priest. And that, isn't that the theme of Hebrews? Jesus is better than. Jesus superior to. Jesus is not only a great high priest, he is a perfect high priest. Chapter 7 of Hebrews is the centerpiece of this sermon that the preacher is preaching, and it zeroes in on the priesthood. The priesthood. Now, before I go any further, I want to make sure that we understand that everybody needs a priest in order to get to the into the presence of God. That's the first point. Before we get into talking about Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek, why Jesus Christ is a perfect high priest, why Jesus Christ is better than Aaron, we have to make sure we understand that without a priest, you cannot get into the presence of God. Now, that's contrary to the American way, the Western way of thinking, where I don't need any middleman. I can do it on my own. I'll come to God on my terms whenever I want to. And I don't need these people getting in the way or telling me I have to do it this way or that way, or they're praying for me. I could do it myself. I don't need any priest. Well, that idea comes straight out of the pit of hell. It smacks of great arrogance because it assumes that God will welcome us just as we are on our terms. The truth is that God is holy and we are sinful, and God will not relate to sinners on their own terms. Sinners are to relate to God on His terms, and because He's holy and righteous, sinners can't come into the presence of God. Ever since Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, they couldn't be with the presence in the presence of God. God is too holy to allow that. So anybody that thinks they don't need a priest, they can do it on their own, is denying the fact that they're a sinner or have a view of God that is improper. God is holy. The only way you can come into the presence of God is through a mediator, a priest. Now, God provided priests for His people Israel so that these priests could bring the people into the presence of God. Priests had a number of roles, servants. They did so many different things. But the main point that the preacher's talking about here is that in order for a sinner to come into the presence of God, a priest had to offer a sacrifice for that person's sin. So we have the Old Testament law that gives the requirements and the holy days and the whole sacrificial system of how people can bring an offering to the priest who will then offer it to God for the forgiveness of their sins. The Old Testament tells us that the reason why they were to sacrifice an animal was to show their genuine repentance for their sin, and that the punishment for their sin was not on them, but it was on the animal. So the sin was transferred to the animal, and the animal was put to death, a substitute. Lambs were slaughtered to pay for the sins of Israel. But as time went on, when Christ came, he took the place of the Levitical priesthood. He was a priest who was permanent, who offered the perfect sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice, once and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. The Levitical priests were temporary. They started serving at the age of 25 and they went to approximately the age of 50. And they retired. So their office of priesthood was a temporary or a specific period of time. On contrasting that with Christ, his priesthood is eternal. It's not for a certain set time. It's forever. And we see the writer of Hebrews talks about this. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We also see in the priests, they offered sacrifices repeatedly. They would sacrifice day after day, month after month, year after year for the sacrifices for the sins of the people. When Jesus came along, he made one sacrifice on the cross and that was it. There's no need for continual sacrifices. There's no need for human priests to intercede for God's people to get them into God's presence. Christ has replaced the human priests, the Levitical priests. Christ has offered the sinless, perfect sacrifice that atones for all sin once and for all. So it doesn't need to be repeated. There are some branches of Christianity where the Lord Jesus is sacrificed every Sunday. In every worship service, a bloodless sacrifice to atone for our sins today. Well, according to the scripture, there's no need for continual sacrifices because of the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. He did it once for all. You see, the Old Testament priesthood was imperfect. It was designed that way for a certain period of time until Christ came and Christ would replace that priesthood. And he did. This was hard for the original audience here who were Jewish believers because everything they were being taught about Christ was replacing what they had grown up with, what their heritage was all about. And to say, well, gee, from when I was a little kid and I got circumcised up until I'm an adult, you know, I went to temple. I offered sacrifices. I followed this ritual. I followed that ritual. I had to keep doing this all the time, going to the priests. And you're telling me I don't have to do that anymore? I don't know if I can believe that. That's, and I suppose you guys are wrong with these changes. So it was tough. And that's why the preacher is talking to them about the need to really understand why Christ is a better priest than Aaron, because he's of the order of Melchizedek, an order of priests that preceded the law, preceded the Levitical priesthood. That priesthood was perfect. Now, Pastor Ben did an exposition of the first 10 verses last week, so I don't need to cover that again. But when we come to verse 11, we see, now if perfection had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? Well, that means the Levitical priesthood was not perfect. The sacrificial system was not perfect. Now, oftentimes we look at the word perfection and think it means sinless, without flaw, without error. And that's true. It can be used that way. But it's also used to talk about a goal or an aim that is reached. Perfection is the arrival at the intended goal. The intended goal of God for His people is that we have fellowship with Him. We enter into His presence. That's the goal. The Levitical priesthood can never get people into the permanent presence of God. Those human priests could not offer, no matter how many thousands of sacrifices of animals, could not get them into heaven. That's why it was imperfect and had to be replaced by the perfect priest, who is Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 12, for when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, not Levi. And nothing was said with regard to that tribe of Judah being a priestly tribe. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of legal requirements concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. The priests came, the Old Testament priests came out of the tribe of Levi. And they had to be descendants of Aaron. There were Levites who weren't priests because they weren't of Aaron's descent. They hadn't descended from Aaron. Those priests often assisted, or those Levites often assisted priests. But there was a line of descendants that could only be priests. So you became a priest because of your heritage, because you were born into the right family. Jesus comes along, and He's not born of the priestly tribe. And yet, He is the perfect priest. So God is changing the priesthood, the sacrificial system, the law, not because the law is not good, but because of the ceremonial law and the civil law, the things that pertain just to Israel under the sacrificial system and under the Levites, that has been replaced. And we'll get to it in chapter 8, where the old covenant of the Old Testament has been replaced by the new covenant. And as we come to this table this morning, we talk about the new covenant in Christ. We're not coming to sacrifice Christ again. Nothing happens where there's a bloodless sacrifice or that He is crucified in our minds. He has done everything He needs to do to bring us in the presence of God. What we're doing today in the new covenant is remembering what He has already done. The perfect high priest brought us to the intended goal, and that is presence with God. He's the only one that could do that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There are no other priests. There's only one priest, and it's Jesus. He came from the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek didn't come from the tribe of Judah. He didn't come from the tribe of Levi. Scriptures show that he was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. They didn't have any idea where he came from. He's a king of righteousness, a king of peace. He's in Jerusalem. Jesus is coming, and he's a priest not because of bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. The law never brought anyone into the presence of God. It was not designed to do that. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And that better hope is the perfect priest, Jesus Christ. Do you understand what the preacher is saying here? We need a priest to come into the presence of God. All other priests cannot bring us into the presence of God. There's only one priest, and that is Jesus Christ, the perfect priest, who has come to pay the debt of our sins, which allows us then to have access to God. On Good Friday, we all know the account of his crucifixion and how the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, thus opening up access to the Holy of Holies. That happened at his crucifixion. That veil had always been there under the Old Testament law. That veil was there that always separated sinners from God. And even though there were priests offering sacrifices, that veil was still preventing them from entering into the presence of God. But when Christ died on the cross, that curtain was torn. And from then on, access to God is available to all who believe in the one who died on that cross and rose again. We could come to Christ because of his priesthood, not because of ourselves or anybody else that says, well, if you do this and do that, I can get you in. Christ is the only way. Christ is the perfect way. So as we come to this table, everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ, you may be a member of this church, you may not be, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and have trusted Christ's work on the cross to atone for your sins and to provide access for you to go into heaven and be in the presence of God, you are welcome to come to this table. We want you to come as the body of Christ, but you come as a believer. So you are all invited. But I want to make sure that we understand that Christ is the perfect high priest. What he has done, that's represented with the bread and the cup, in sacrificing his body, shedding his blood, has gained access to the presence of God for us for all eternity. It's not just temporary. Well, I came to communion, I took the elements, and I feel so much better about myself right now. I feel like my sins are all atoned for. And then Wednesday something happens and it's, oh man, I just had communion, now I'm going to have to do all that over again. No, it's not this cycle. It's all of our sins have been paid for by Christ once and for all. That's why he's called perfect.